Today on Rainbow Country, from York Pride, Jacob Gal, plus the Big Brother Canada Top 3. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Rainbow Country may use words or phrases not suitable for all audiences. No matter who you are.
Hi, this is Carol Pope.
No matter what you do.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam.
We all have a story to tell, and it starts right here on this gay radio show. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we will raise our pride. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this continuing journey through Rainbow Country. As I like to call it, a little gay radio show that helps give voice to the LGBT community. As always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. Get social, get interactive on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at Mark Tara Music. Honestly, it's the best way to keep up to date with all things Rainbow Country. Who's coming up on a particular show, on a particular episode, all that sort of good stuff. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. So, do you have a project coming up in 2018? In the later part of 2018, you want some media time? Get in touch with me and I will have you on the show. Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, on Podomatic.com, on Google Play Music, on Spotify. It's all about choices, right? And don't forget, everything is hooked up at my website, including the archives, marktara.com, marktara.com. So this is episode 99. On today's show, my Big Brother Canada coverage comes to an end with the top three. So, last Thursday was the finale of Big Brother Canada, and on Friday, I caught up with the top three. So Derek, who finished third, Kayla, who came in second and walks away with $20,000, and the winner of Big Brother Canada 6, Paris, and she walks away with $100,000 and more. Plus, in the spotlight, from York Pride, Jacob Gal. So my friends, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now with Big Brother Canada.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Kayla.
Yes.
Congratulations. Runner-up, $20,000. Not too bad.
Ah, thank you.
Derek, congratulations. Final three on Big Brother Canada 6. How do you feel?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super pumped. I never thought coming into the house that I would be able to maneuver my way all the way to the final three. Like everyone is aware, I came into this house not even seeing a complete season of Big Brother. I knew nothing, and I feel like it was kind of an advantage at the end of the day. I thought I'd be punted out of here week three or four maybe, but I was able to come in, find a Big Brother superfan showman to work off of, and I made it so far. As much as it sucks to get to that end and not be able to be in the final two, I'm proud that I did what I did.
Kayla, how do you feel?
I feel great. Oh my gosh, I'm just so excited to have gotten to this point in the game. And being a huge fan, I'm just blessed that I got the opportunity to play, and that's what I'm most excited about.
Let's go back in time. You find out you're coming on Big Brother Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What's your strategy coming into the game?
My strategy coming into the house was not to win anything for the first half of the game and build social relationships as a base so that when I wanted to make big moves and beast out comps in the second half of the game and win to the end was literally my strategy. But I couldn't do that unless I had social relationships that would be able to bring me further even after I keep winning.
I didn't have an exact strategy. The one thing I knew that I needed to do was make really strong alliances. I knew I could get people to trust me. I wasn't exactly sure what competitions were going to be coming my way. But showmance-wise, it wasn't completely my strategy just to come in and, you know, find a girl and work with her. I knew I could get a girl to like me if I wanted to. I definitely know that I was able to kind of play off people's feelings. So coming into the house, my strategy was to get a lot of people to trust me, build alliances around myself, and then win when I needed to win. And it just ended up, you know, me meeting one person, building that alliance is all I really needed to move myself forward.
So let's talk about your showmans with Kayla.
All right.
So it lasted the whole game?
Yes.
Was your showmans, was that strategy or was that chemistry with Kayla? Talk to me about your showmans. Why a showmans?
I think what started as a mix of strategy and a bit of chemistry kind of turn into more chemistry than anything at all. I mean, both of us, we trust each other right off the hop. Within 10 minutes, you know, I found out she's a small town East Coast girl. I'm a small town Alberta boy. You know, we love country music. We have all these similarities that we just really trusted each other. And by the end of week one, she had told me she had a psychology degree, a criminology degree. She's seen every episode of American and Canadian so far. My head is spinning. I'm like, this girl is perfect. I have to work with her, you know? And at the same time, I'm like, she's cute. I like her. She's really great. You know, she's a fantastic, incredible woman. And I was like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity for me to be strategic and also get to know someone that I really want to get to know.
I didn't come in saying, oh, here, I'm going to find a showman as soon as I get in there. I was open to the opportunity. If I did meet someone, I would never say no if I really like them. And Derek and I honestly just hit it off since night one. We had so much in common, and I really liked him. So it started out with just like having chemistry, but honestly, I didn't see a showmance as a bad thing because in every showmance, the male is always seen as the more dominant, stronger, and bigger threat. So I thought, you know, if I could boost that up and make sure everyone in the house believed that he was the bigger threat, it would work to my advantage because we would end up on the block together at one point of the game, and then I would end up staying.
So with how everything worked out,
yes,
at the finale, do you still stand beside your move with cutting Will at final four instead of Derek? Do you still stand behind that?
I do stand behind that because if I was in a final three situation with Will and Paris, they were going to take each other. Nobody was going to take me. And standing beside Derek and Paris, both of them were going to take me. So I just wanted to be in a situation where I was going to be taken to the final two if I couldn't take myself there, which was very evident when Paris won the final HOH and I didn't. If I was there sitting with Will, I wasn't going to be in the final two. So it just proved that I made the right decision and I'm glad I did.
So Derek, you were in the house for the full term of Big Brother Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most challenging part of this whole experience for you?
The most challenging part was, I think, finding things to do because we have so many things in life nowadays, like television and cell phone and all this kind of craziness that really, you know, is a distraction at the end of the day. So all you're kind of left with in the house is the people that you have and that you can build relationships with and your imagination. So it's going back to being a kid, using your imagination, goofing off, having fun, just finding different ways to pass the time because That was the biggest thing being in the Big Brother house is you got so much time to do so much stuff, but you got nothing to do except talk to other people. So it was the most difficult thing, I think, was being able to kind of slow your mind down. You're constantly in there thinking of the next move, thinking if someone's lying to you. Does Kayla really like me? There's just so many different things that you're constantly thinking about. So it's important just to kind of, you know, take a step back and sit down and be like, hey, you know, I just need to take it easy and enjoy what I'm doing.
The most challenging part would probably, honestly, being on slop almost the whole entire season. It really sucked. It drained your energy. Slop brain is a thing, to be honest. Like, it slowed me down a lot. I was tired all the time. Sleeping in the catacombs really sucked, but it was mainly the food. I eat a lot of food, and it sucked when I couldn't, honestly.
The flip side to that question.
Yes.
What was the best part of being part of Big Brother Canada 6?
The best part was experiencing the game as a whole. Being a huge super fan, I look at the game in a whole different way being in it. I thought it was going to be a lot easier. It definitely wasn't. There's a lot more into it than coming in, winning comps, and having a social game. And I just appreciate playing the game itself. And it was never about the money for me. It was about the title. And I just... so happy that I got a chance to play.
The best part, hands down, was definitely the people. As much as you get into the animosity with them, and you got liars, you got people that, you know, really want to beat you and get you out of the game, at the end of it, we got in so many arguments, and at the end, we're like, you know what, I still like you as a person, but as a game, I hate you. So it was so funny to kind of look back and see that happen, but it was definitely the people, and it made me realize that, you know, it's not where you are, it's who you're with at the end of the day, and to go in there and have nothing but people to talk to and have all these different kinds of laughs and stories and just joke around. It makes you realize that all you really need in life is good people surrounding you. And that's what I had in the Big Brother house. And that was what I'll cherish the most.
Well said. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Congrats again.
Oh, thanks.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Paris, congratulations. Apparently you're the winner of Big Brother Canada 6.
Yeah, apparently that happened last night.
How do you feel?
I feel really, really good. Last night was probably the best night of my life so far. Hasn't fully sunk in yet. It's definitely overwhelming, but I feel good. I feel great.
You should.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time. You find out you're coming into the Big Brother Canada house.
Yes.
Do you have a strategy going into the house? And if so, what was your strategy?
Yeah, going into the house, I was gonna, basically do what I ended up doing, but a little bit different. So the first week, usually the typical comp piece are in power, and I wanted to align with them, but, you know, kind of build relationships with the outsiders. And then, you know, halfway through the season, there is, you know, a bit of a power shift, and I was going to be aligning with the outsiders at that point, which kind of happened this season, but there was definitely some ups and downs, and it was a little bit different, so I had to just kind of adapt. I was going to throw competitions for the first, I thought, 6 weeks, but then I realized, hey, my social game is getting me a lot further than 6 weeks. I don't need to quite win competitions yet. And so I kind of left that till, what, the final two HOHs? And I think that's where it was a little bit different than I imagined, because I thought I was going to be forced to have to fight my way to the end starting week six, and it wasn't the case.
Let's talk about the finale.
Yes.
Let's talk about your win. What do you think clinched your win? Do you think it was the fact that you won the final HOH and you broke up the showmans? Do you think maybe it was the way that you responded to the jury questions or your jury speech? What do you think really clinched your win last night?
I think it was a combination for sure. First and foremost, if I didn't get that final HOH, one HOH wasn't going to do me any good, and I was still going to be seen as a floater, and I just had to prove the jury I didn't have to win. And now that I do, look at me, I just won, and I did what you guys couldn't do. I broke apart the showmans. And so I think that was definitely something that stuck with them, because Derek was going to come out, and they were going to ask him who did it, and depending on who did, I think it was going to be swaying their votes a little bit. It was that in combination with sitting next to Kayla. I think she did a poor job of jury management, and I think that definitely helped me. And it was also my final pitch. Like, I think I was able to answer the questions better than Kayla was, and I think that my final pitch really stuck with the jury. I was surprised to get, you know, Livinelli's vote, but it was awesome. I'm surprised that, you know, it went down as, like, a 6-1 vote. I was thinking maybe, like, a 5-2 at best, you know, best-case scenario, but it worked out in the end. I think it was a combination of all of it.
You're in the Big Brother Canada house from beginning to end. What was the most challenging part of the Big Brother Canada experience for you?
It gets really, really emotionally straining. Before going to the house, I kept saying, you know, I'm not here to make friends. Like, I came here to play the game. But those people become your family. You're with them 24/7. You rely on them for emotional support, for everything. And to have to evict someone like that, it sucks. Like, for me, Erica was someone that I had a lot of really deep moments with in the house. But I knew all along the way she had to go because, in my opinion, at the time, she was the best player in the house. So it was just, it was so hard. It's such a fine line of, like, I want you in this house because I adore you and there's so much I appreciate about you, but you also gotta go because you're just too good. And so I think it was very emotionally straining for me. I found myself really, really, you know, distraught every Thursday when I was supposed to send somebody home. And I think it takes a toll on you. It really does. Just being cut off from everyone you love and then having these strangers that you met be your family, it's difficult.
Last question.
Yes.
What was the best part of your Big Brother Canada experience?
Now that I won, the best part was that moment where I walked on the stage and there was just confetti and, like, the cheers and, like, the crowd standing up. And I just, it was really nice. Even with that final HOH, like, seeing their reaction, I think they wanted me to win at that point. And I don't know if it ended up becoming an underdog story. I'm not sure. But it seemed like they were genuinely happy for me. And it seemed like I was, every time I was answering a question, there was, like, a really loud cheer. Whereas, like, I don't know if it was the other way around. And it gave me a little bit of a boost of a confidence. I was like, oh my God, like, these people want me to win. Like, these people are here for me. And I think that was, like, that last night was probably the best of the whole thing. Competitions are also really, really cool. Like, it's one thing to see it on TV. It's another thing to actually compete in them. But yeah, last night was my favorite for sure.
Paris, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the end of my Big Brother Canada 6 coverage. I hope you enjoyed it. If there is a Big Brother Canada 7, maybe I'll be involved. One never knows. Covering it, doing the exit interviews again. Time will tell. When I return, my spotlight on Jacob Gall from York Pride. Stay with me.
This is City Councillor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
He is the program coordinator for York Region's Gay Straight Alliance North. He is the director of communications at York Pride. He is Jacob Gall. Thanks for joining me in studio.
Yay! How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous.
So, Jacob Gall, let's talk about Pride. You are the director of communications at York Pride. When is York Pride?
So York Pride is taking place on Saturday, June 16th, 2018, in the town of Newmarket, which is one of the 9 municipalities here in York Region.
How long has York Pride been going?
So York Pride's a little bit of an interesting story just because it's evolved a number of times in its history. It started in 2001 as a couple of community individuals that wanted to plan Pride events openly, so advertise them, get proclamations from the region, and do social events across York Region. And that started by 3 individuals. And by 2005, a number of individuals were getting ready to move on to other activities, and one person was moving, so the whole thing fell apart in 2005. And then from that to 2006, nothing happened in York Region. So there was no Pride proclamation requests or flag raising requests, no events, social activities. And then in 2007, Family Services of York Region had received funding from Trillium, and they decided to pull together a coalition of different organizations in York Region to form York Pride Fest. And York Pride Fest was then born, and that organizations that were a part of that were York Regional Police, YRDSB, Gay York Region, FSYR, which is Family Services York Region, My House Rainbow Resources, which was actually started by Haran Vijayanathan, who is the parade marshal this year in Toronto Pride. And then there were a number of other organizations like AIDS Committee and PFLAG.
Wow.
It's pretty cool because like you have some of these organizations that operate in Toronto, but also operate in York Region. So really there are resources in York Region and there are organizations doing work, that, you know, came together to start York Pride Fest. So it's really exciting because you talk about like how big it is in Toronto and, you know, finally they're starting to create something in York Region. So yeah. That's kind of where that folded, and started. And then you have the evolution of York Pride Fest, and now we're here at York Pride. We've got a board of directors. We have a festival management team that are working year-round to program not only events just in June, but throughout the four seasons. So
do you guys in York Region, do you celebrate Pride Month, or is that just like a local Toronto thing?
You know what? It's funny you asked, because Toronto is really like started with a number of large city prides around the world, this movement of Pride Month, you know.
I think New York was like one of the first.
Yeah, I think, I'm not too sure who it was, but I mean, you know, they all fight like, hey, it was me, yeah. Okay. But
true enough.
We hopped on the bandwagon probably last year, just before, it really started in World Pride, which was hosted in 2014 here in Toronto, Ontario. And we took part in that, but we never really called ourselves like a Pride Month. We like, we've got our Pride Week and we're proud. We're happy. We've only got enough events to program within a week, right? And then, you know, 3 years later, we're, you know, programming throughout the month. So we're like, we don't fit in a week anymore. We need a month. So that's kind of why we jumped onto Pride Month.
So what can we expect from York Pride in 2018?
We actually have quite a bit planned, and I brought two of my counterparts today.
They just popped in for this
magical segment with York Pride today.
And who's here?
My name is Neil Tushingham. I'm a brand ambassador for York Pride.
I'm Brianne. I'm the volunteer and logistics coordinator.
So together, we work together to, and we're just a quarter of the team. And
there's seven of you in total?
Yeah. So, I mean, the math doesn't really count out when I say a quarter, but... We're a small team, but I mean, you know, good things take time, and York Pride is growing every year, and so is our management team. We're all volunteers. This year, we've selected our All Together Now theme, really encouraging our community to unite in one space, all together, one day, and we're going to then take that and put that into a 360-degree approach and four-season programming and really work to program, you know, all events around the year. So this year we've got a number of activities. You want to talk about something, Neil?
I would love to. I would particularly like to talk about the parade, because that's one I'm very much excited in.
Yeah.
We have over 50 organizations that are going to be marching or participating in the parade.
And also the fact that the businesses decorated hardcore. We had rainbow flags and banners up for the first time. The town put in a big, massive rainbow snowplow. I mean, it was so engaging. And this year, after the parade, we've got Pride on Riverwalk. And I think Brianne's going to give us a light update, and I might add some stuff in with the celebrations on Riverwalk.
So Pride on Riverwalk, so the entire thing is totally family-friendly. We've got an awesome kids zone, inflatables, rock climbing, all that jazz. And we're going to have a bunch of live performances on the stage, including drag queens, and capping the night off with fireworks.
Yeah, and a beer garden.
We've
got something for adults, and we got food vending. And overall, we've got loads of activities that are good for the bold or the tame. So,
I'm going to ask all of you this question, but what's your favorite part of York Pride, Neil? What's your favorite part?
Oh, my goodness. I think, personally for me, what I love to see is building a space that fosters inclusivity. I think that that's something that's really important to me in a personal way, that we can bring an element of that to York Region.
The nice thing about York Pride is it's super close. It's family, it's friends, it's your neighbors, it's your workers. And it's just a celebration where everyone comes out. And I love seeing the smiles and just how awesome it is to see mm-hmm. people engaging with the community, especially in the 905 region.
Fireworks.
And I was just going to say, Brianne, fireworks girl.
I echo all of that.
There we go. Brianne loves the fireworks. And I do too.
I love more than just the fireworks, but I do love the fireworks.
Well,
thank you so much, Mark.
Jacob Gall, I think we should put your friends back in the closet and we're going to continue with our conversation.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
So let's talk about the Gay Straight Alliance North.
It's a fun group.
You are the program coordinator?
Yes.
For York Region's Gay Straight Alliance North. What is this organization all about?
All right. So they're individuals that you should be very, very concerned about because they like to enjoy themselves. The look on your face.
I was like, okay, you should be concerned. I'm like, what?
No. So basically, with YRGSA North, this started in Richmond Hill as a youth group outside of school. So you know how you have your equity clubs in schools, gender sexuality or the GSA, Gay Straight Alliance. In 2013, Bill 13 was going through legislation, which was part of the Accepting Schools Act. And two things were happening at that time. Legislation to build more inclusive spaces in schools was being implemented. At the same time, teachers were going on strike for extracurricular activities because of a number of backlashes and cuts that they had had in some of this legislation. So all these clubs in these schools, whether it was Yearbook or Tech Crew or DECA, YRGSA or GSAs or ESPs, I mean, you know that like high school groups have like 100 different groups. Mm-hmm. Well, they were all cut for extracurricular. So no mm-hmm. teachers were allowed to actually supervise them after school. And you had a group of these students that came together to form YRGSA. Mm-hmm. And that formed in Richmond Hill in 2012. And it picked up like wildfire in 2013 when this happened. And you had kids from across the region, Toronto, Barrie, Bradford, they were all coming in for this one group that was meeting in Richmond Hill in a super small space that was hosted by My House Rainbow Resources, which was started by Haran Vijayanathan. It was amazing. You're like, so many youth packed into one little room to like talk about, you know, their coming out experiences and, you know, their friendships and, you know, what they're doing in their schools. And there was activities like every week, and it was a great place to mingle. And when I started going to that, when I finally moved to Newmarket from Vaughan, made that really big northern move, Newmarket didn't have anything. And people from the foremost northern municipalities in the region didn't have something to do with queer programming for youth aged like 14 to 24. So I decided to do a northern chapter of the GSA. And it was slow going for the start, but now like we're programming like just over 6 events a year and meetings on top of all those 6 events and then excursions. And we just recently landed funding with the OTF, which is the Ontario Trillium Foundation, through their YOF stream, which is the Youth Opportunities Fund. So we have a lot of programming that we're doing.
So how long have you been with that organization?
Coming up same as Pride, five years. The group's been around for about 6-7.
Okay.
So there was I guess maybe to explain a little bit, just so we're not confusing the listeners, the group that was operating in Newmarket prior was a youth group that was for LGBT youth. It just wasn't very well known or publicized, and I think they had about 3 people going, and then it closed, and then the youth center flooded, and it never happened again. So starting YRGSA North up in Newmarket was part of me moving and, you know, wanting to program for queer youth that, you know, need social opportunities, especially at their age.
So Jacob, you're from the York, you're from York region.
That faraway land from Toronto. Yes. I live in Newmarket.
And you're very, for lack of better words, you're very politically active in the LGBT community up there. So what was it that made you become politically active? Was there a flashpoint at some point in your history? What was it that drew you to become so active in the LGBT community?
I think when, like, getting myself involved and, you know, how I became, like, politically charged and just motivated to do things in the community, I think it started with my parents. So when I was in my first relationship, my parents didn't know that I was gay, and it's quite a challenge. And when they found out in my second relationship, they wanted me to get to know more of the community. And, you know, after you get over all the struggles and the fights and, you know, the awkward tension and the no talking and anything that really happens when you come out to your parents, sometimes it's good. Most of the time, like, there's, you know, the 6 stages of coming out, with the denial and then, you know, the acceptance and then the tolerance, and there's all that other stuff. And I had no idea, like, what to do, and they had no concrete advice to give except for go get involved in your community and do stuff with people that are like you, because you'll be able to find something. And that's when I decided to join the GSA outside of the schools when Bill 13 was going through. So it was, I love my parents, and, you know, they come out to Pride now every year and support me, grandma, my sisters, my dad, my mom. So, I mean, the support that I have is priceless, and there are so many youth that don't have that. So I think, you know, making sure that I'm building space for people that don't have that support, and for people that do have that support and want to expand their social reach.
Yay for parents.
Yeah, I love parents. I mean, to be honest, parents are a pain in the ass, like, most of the time. And then, you know, you get to a point where, you know, you get to an age too where, you know, you can actually have proper conversations and you can talk, and if there's something bugging you, you talk about it and you get over it and you find ways to meet in the middle. And that's what I did with my parents, and I couldn't be happier, because, you know, my dad's helping me build floats and my mom's running our merch table at Pride, and, you know, grandma's in the Pride parade waving to everyone, you know, like, having a good time. I mean, that's what Pride is, right?
It's, yeah, you gotta love it.
It's protest, it's education, yeah, and it's family.
Well, well said, Jacob Gal. On that note, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
I'm Susan Gapka, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So, Jacob Gal, let's get to know the fun side of you. Fun little Jacob.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be interesting.
So, apparently, you are a fan of Pride parades.
Yeah, I openly advertise some strange things on my Facebook page.
Why? What is it about a Pride parade that draws you to it?
Well, I mean, the sheer, like, liberation of people, and the fact that people are united, and you've got confetti flying in the sky, and you've got people waving their colorful flags around, and it's just a mashup of diversity and fun. And I think when I look at, like, Pride, and I see people together having a good time, and, you know, family is there and our friends are there, our partners or just our friends, it's the best feeling ever. And
I thought you were going to say hot naked men, Mark.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
Come on, I'm shallow.
Yeah, well, okay, well, that's, like, you know, that's definitely, like, why everyone likes going to Pride, right? You know, no one's there for, like, the whole equity thing, right? And everyone's just there for the naked men, but, you know, I'm there for both. So,
so Apparently you like a good house party. What makes a good house party?
Moving into your parents' house, for starters, is always a good way to start doing house parties.
Okay.
So if you got your own, you know, space and you got your own pad, you know, that's the first step. Building your party team is probably the second best thing that you need to do, is pull together your closest friends that are creative, that are annoying, that are like just pure full of fun, because you need to then figure out what that's going to look like. For my parties, it's, you know, it's three DJs, it's kegs, it's, you know, bartender, dancers.
And this is happening where?
This is happening where I live, in my house. I mean, like, you know, we're pulling together, like, you know, 200 to 300 queer people, and we're jamming them in a house for the night. And let's just say the experience is, like, unforgettable. And, you know, with all of the activities that we do, I mean, I don't even know if you can call them activities. It's just, like, pure awesomeness. You know, a part of, you know, coming out and being a part of the community is engaging in it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think the feedback that I get from, like, my friends is, we've had people who are homophobic come out to the parties and totally change mm-hmm. their view, because they got to experience a night where they get to know someone by not judging them mm-hmm. but actually getting to know them, you know, by name and by social media, and you know, hearing their side of the story. And usually the parties are themed. So my craziest one is Halloween after parties. Those are, it's always a week after Halloween. I do a haunted house that supports the local homeless youth shelter in Newmarket. And then we do a maze, and we deck out the house and light it up and do pyro and all the stuff. And then I'll decorate the inside, and then we'll do three levels, DJs, drinks, food, sometimes fireworks, and then, of course, all of the other stuff that you mix in. You know, the drag queens, your friends who dance, and...
What do your neighbors think?
Well, I've got, like, we live on a party street, so okay. I'm blessed okay. with pretty awesome neighbors. We've got...
Do they join in?
You know what? We have a couple of the local drunks that come over and, like, find themselves socializing with the crowd, and then they're, like, passed out somewhere on mm-hmm. the couch, and people are taking selfies with, like, the only adults in the facility. Mm-hmm. So it's quite funny.
So you also are an aficionado of haunted houses?
Yeah, I mean,
you love a haunted
scary
house?
Shit, everything. I love horror, and I love the film aspect. I love the mm-hmm. acting aspect mm-hmm. and just the general vibe of October and, you know, Halloween and scary and scaring people is close to my heart, because
mm-hmm. what makes a good haunted house?
Wow. Now, there are a number of haunted houses in our region that do, like, you know, that have actual money that can do some really good houses, but it's really how you design your scare zones, right? You can do a really shitty job at building your maze, but have really good scare zones, and your primary focus is get people scared or catch them off guard, right? And you know, it's how you scare your people that are coming through your haunted house.
So are your haunted houses, they're designed for your friends? Like, so, or is it just like any random person off the street can go?
Yeah, like all the randoms are invited.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
does that bother you at all, or potentially
it's
scare
community
you at all?
It brings okay. people together. I mean, you know, our primary focus is, you know, 7 to 14, really. I mean, it's parents dropping their kids off, they run through the house, they're screaming, they donate a can of good food for the food drive, and then some money for the homeless youth shelter, and that's it. And
okay.
then,
well,
okay. you can't forget the candy at the end of the maze. You got to okay. go through the maze to get the candy, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, that's what the whole experience is, you know, getting the community together involved. And you know, we'll do, you know, 14 makeup artists, 60 youth volunteering, and then, like, all these costumes, and
wow.
We'll do a theme. Like, Dark Circus was our theme last year, and it was really intense.
How long have you been doing haunted houses?
For about 4 years now. So
okay.
I worked at Canada's Wonderland and fell in love with the idea of okay. haunt, so
yeah,
can thank them.
So let's talk about your on-camera work for a hot minute. Ooh. You were a volunteer with Rogers TV.
Yeah, that was...
Talk to me about what you did with Rogers TV.
So with Rogers, it first started off as a co-op through my high school. And, you know, I really wanted to you know, get involved behind the scenes and figure out, you know, how to use a camera, how to produce things, and really build a set and do a bunch of other things. And it just, it kept growing with experience and developing into something so much more than I thought it was going to be. And by the end of it, I was doing on-air stuff with the Santa Claus parades and a lot of the big conferences, and getting out to community events. And
doing, this was for York Region?
Yeah, and doing community producing and television. And by far, it was like one of the best experiences. I mean, you will not find a better place to learn how to wrap a cord than Rogers TV. And I kid you not, I won't let my friends touch my cords if they don't know how to wrap a cord properly. It's the whole over and under thing. I spent hours and hundreds of games learning how to wrap cords properly at Rogers TV. You know, obviously they build you up from there, and then you learn you do to do your on-air stuff and how to build your productions. But I'd have to say mobile productions were my favorite because you're out in the community.
Well, Jacob Gall, on that note, let's take a break. Yes. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Hi, I'm actor and burlesque performer Matthew Eldracker. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
So Jacob Gall, this is Rainbow Country, and part of Rainbow Country is a little area I like to call Erotic City.
Oh, that sounds so much fun.
So let's talk about the sensual world. Let's talk about sex, sexuality. Let's talk about attraction. Jacob Gall, what attracts you to someone?
So I have been in a relationship for 4 years, which just recently ended, sadly. And I have to say, like, out of like my experience growing up with, you know, I had four high school, you know, boyfriends. And then I had, you know, in elementary school, it was like the girlfriends, and I had like one girlfriend in high school, and then it kind of like changed. But depending on like me as an individual, I've learned a lot about myself and through my experiences. Something that attracts me is definitely like it's not necessarily a checklist, but there are things that like have to happen. Like the, you know, the chemistry, of course, and being able to like have fun with that individual. And that's not necessarily just sexual. That's, you know, going out places, doing things together, having bonding experiences where, you know, maybe you don't like the same thing, but, you know, you can find a happy medium. Definitely, I think just having compassion for people and like understanding. I think, you know, the people that, you know, I'm attracted to are people that try to understand other people without judging them right away, right?
So when you first meet someone, though, when you first see them, what is it about their physicality that gets you?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone wants a nice body, right? I mean, I want a nice body, but I like ice cream too much sometimes, so like, you know, that can be hard, right? And the thing is, you know, I think...
So do you
know,
like the muscle men?
Well, I mean, I love muscly men, but the thing is,
so do
like...
I, girl, so do I.
Oh, so good. But the thing is, like, you know, as I'm getting older, like, I'm understanding, like, you know, it's not all about the physique, right? And it's really about, you know, who makes you happy and, you know, who you can spend that time with.
But that comes with time.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you first see someone, like, when you first meet them, there's usually
eyes, like... It's, I mean, I have a thing for brown eyes. Like, is
what color are yours?
They're a little bit of, like, it's a mix. It's green, blue with a splash of yellow.
Okay.
The yellow is very faint, but it's there. I think depending on like,
do you need medication for that?
I think birth defects.
Maybe it's golden.
Maybe, I don't know. It's its own thing, really.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like the eyes, like the first thing, you know, when I meet a guy is like look into their eyes, and it's like there's like a sparkle.
And then you look down from the eyes.
Yeah. And then like the whole other adventure starts. So, I mean.
So when did you realize that you were gay? Like, you may not have had the words, but you had, you know, maybe crushes, attractions to, you know, schoolmates. When did that start happening for you?
That probably started happening around grade six. Understanding, well, like grade six, like I had my desktop at home, and there were all sorts of like chat sites and video chat rooms that
And how old were you, would you have been?
Yeah, grade six. That was like probably 13, almost 13 maybe. Don't ask me to do math without my calculator. But basically, my experience started online. It was
really?
Yeah, it was all through connecting with other people my age from all parts of the world. It could be the UK, it could be Asia, it could be anywhere where somebody was connected through social media, and I talked about how I was feeling, and you know, reading online about things, and just like engaging in different like ways with people. And it was really interesting. I mean, for me, it was like, you know, being a growing boy, it was more like it was a mix on things, but definitely like the whole like visual like side was something that like I got into. And I guess to make it more clear is video chats, right? Like talking and, you know, having conversations with people and being able to like see them face to face. And I don't know, I was just attracted to guys like at that point. And don't really know exactly when that started, but you know, school definitely was like the real life thing, and then you had like your online thing where it was like, you know, you could talk to people. And LGBT was like probably around that time for me. So,
and you were mentioning earlier that your parents came on board, they were very supportive of you.
I mean, at first I think, you know, they were there questioning me, and they were trying to figure out like, you know, obviously my dad could see my history on my computer, so I mean, it was probably self-explanatory, but at that point, like, I wasn't thinking about that. I didn't care about it. I was just doing me, right? And you know, at first, you know, my first relationship was with somebody who like uses substances like recreationally, but a lot. And they had a really big problem with me hanging out with that individual, and little did they know I was actually dating that individual at the time. So they thought, you know, I was doing all these drugs and all this other stuff, when, you know, really I wasn't really consuming what they thought I was consuming. Yeah, maybe I tried weed and enjoyed it, but that's not who started, you know, introducing me to different things, whether it's a substance or the crowds that I'm hanging out with. And eventually, you know, got into like fights with my parents, and actually hit like a rock bottom with them. And I got kicked out for 2 months, and I left for 2 months, and I stayed with a friend. And then that relationship, I decided to like end it at the end of the summer and try to rebuild the relationship with my parents, and then go into my second relationship. My phone breaks, and then my dad fixes it. And then I guess all these messages from this guy pop up. And, you know, a couple months later, my mom's like dropping off my lunch at school, because she's a cool mom, dropping off my lunch. And she's like, "So who's this guy named Tao?" And I was like, "Oh, Tao's a friend." She's like, "No, I think he's more than a friend." And I'm like, "Oh shit, what? Like, damn it, like, can't hide now." And because at that point, like, I was ready to tell them, but my mom was always like, "I need to know, I need to know." And you know, it was never like a, "It's okay, we love you, if it's okay if you are." And it was like very much like the pressure was on. And you know, I wanted to find a time when there was no pressure, but I ended up getting cornered into it, really. And for the first couple of months, it was tough, but we sat down, we found a happy medium, we educated each other. My parents told me what they were scared of, and I told them what, you know, I wanted them to know. And the fact that like I had an amazing childhood with my parents, and nothing's changing because of it, right? And you know, just because I'm coming out doesn't change anything that we've done in the past, where you know, they've, you know, brought me up to be who I am, right? So you know, that for me was like the most important thing. But it definitely all started online. I met this guy from Lima, Peru, and we talked for months, and I was like planning to escape and like go visit. Here's me like at like 13, 14, like planning to go to like some foreign country. That didn't happen, of course.
Was he 13 as well?
Yeah, yeah, we were the same age. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know.
Wow.
So ambitious. But, I mean, it never really happened because, mm-hmm. you know, I then, like, got really scared and then kind of chickened out on the whole plan. But, you know, at 13, do you really have the money to be traveling seas? No. So
does York Region have a gay scene?
Yeah. If you can call it a gay scene. They don't have a queer night space yet. But a close friend of mine is working her butt off to make it happen. Mm-hmm. She lives in Newmarket. Her name's Patrice, and she is working on opening Stage 185, which is going to be the first queer night space in the region. It's going to be a lounge, a vegan restaurant. They're packing a lot of shit into this place. Like, we're talking vegan and we're talking queer lounge space, and you know, I think the town itself is having a hard time, like, adapting the whole club thing. They don't have a single club in Newmarket.
Really?
So the reason
is that because of the proximity to Toronto?
No, it's just they're not there. I don't think are ready for a club, but I think as times move forward, and, you know, they've expanded on all the space that they have in Newmarket. So the only thing to do is build up. So you need to start building their mini monopolises in, you know, Newmarket, and, you know, that draws crowds and clubs, and they need to prepare themselves. But this first club that, you know, we can't really call it a club because they don't want to call it a club, but I'll always call it a club. Mm-hmm. But they're working on opening the space, Stage 185, which will feature not just club activities, but, like, youth events, mm-hmm. and programming 365 days a year for queer individuals of all ages, mm-hmm. Which is really important. So we're in the midst of making history in Newmarket, all thanks to Patrice and her second half, who is queer and a queer person of color. And I think that's so important because, you know, Pride has predominantly been all white people and straight and gay. And it's nice to see that there's a mix of people working on reaching happy mediums in our community and building social spaces and safe spaces at that, because it's so important for anyone of a diverse age to be able to experience social activities, mm-hmm. and whether that's youth groups or youth excursions, mm-hmm. to, you know, elderly people being able to, you know, eat their breakfast with their friends and their partners, mm-hmm. openly, right, in their old folks' homes. So
Jacob Gal, how can people find you online?
So you can find me on Facebook at Jacob Montgomery Gal, or on Twitter at Jacob_Gal, or Jacob.gal@Instagram or Snapchat. So it's a lot of dots and underscores, but sorry to make it so confusing. I should really just focus on that dot, you know. But that's where you're gonna find me. And you know, whether it's working on York Pride and building a wonderful festival where, you know, people are coming together and experiencing unity, all under a big fireworks show that, mm-hmm. we're doing this year, June 16th, at Riverwalk Commons, or at the youth group that I facilitate every month, third Thursday at Newmarket Recreation and Youth Skate Park. We've got so much that's going on in the region, and there's really never enough time to talk about it all. But you know, if you're queer, it doesn't matter where you sit on the spectrum, you should be getting involved with the activities that are happening in and across York Region. And hit me up if you've got questions.
Jacob Gal, well said.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure, and it was really fun.
Hey there, it's David Dixon, Canadian fashion designer, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
That was my spotlight on Jacob Gal from York Pride. Don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Mark Tara Music. You want to be on the show, send me an email and I will have you on. Mark at marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, and on Spotify. And again, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Next week, it's my 100th episode. Yay! And I have no idea what it's going to be about. But we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.